Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then Coach Rick Mahorn, Sensation Nasir Khor, and the Detroit Amps look to protect home court against back-to-back MVP Michael Beasley and the defending champs Miami 305. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays on BET.
There was no room for interpretation. Austin Saraveld wants to run the damn ball, and if anyone touches Julian Sain, that's not allowed. I love this new version of Ohio State's captain in the left tackle, sending a strong message as Ohio State gets ready for Ohio on Saturday night in the Horseshoe. These are snap judgments. It's a Woody Wednesday. He's Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. He's just starting to come out of his shell. You're hearing that with Julian Sain and the way that he's talking with the media. I know it's a little too vibey, but this is a Wednesday night that I thought, there's some of that edge coming out of Ohio State.
There's a little juice for a game against Ohio, a little more than I would have anticipated after a 70-0 win and a game against an in-state school. Ohio State hasn't lost to an in-state program since 1921, I think. So it's been about 105 years. So that's normally the type of game where you could be like, well, we don't have to get all worked up. I straight up asked Julian saying, like, when you got into the locker room on Saturday night and you saw that Ohio only gave up 17 points to Rich Rodriguez in West Virginia, did that make your ears perk up? Like, oh, I need to, maybe we need to look at this a little bit differently. And he said, as you'd expect, we will not take anyone lightly. We studied super hard for Grambling, and we're going to study super hard and prepare super hard for Ohio. So if OU was hoping to come into this game, and it's at Ohio Stadium, which is over there,
it's back there.
If they were hoping that they might be able to sneak in here and get like a sleepy Ohio State team, I think the odds of that went considerably like lower once this game was moved to the PM, 7 PM slot. But this team seems pretty ready for the next task. And
well, they are usually done playing by 7 PM. So
true. But they're getting to play the night game. And I think that, you know, again, Ohio, if maybe you get them at 11 a.m. or noon or whatever time it is when Ohio State plays those early morning games, I don't know. I'm basically asleep on the sideline for most of them. But in this case, like,
is that true?
No, but this team seems pretty amped, pretty ready to go. And that, but I also thought Ryan Day seemed tired tonight in his little his lightning session. Did you? He had a very subdued energy, not like sad or woe is me, but like very focused for a Wednesday night.
Yeah, they had a longer practice on this Wednesday than they did a week ago for Grambling. So I'm not going to try and tie those things together, but I think that, you know, the race to get better is taxing if you're trying to go full speed and maximize the progress. And I think that whether that is Ryan Day, whether that was Austin Saraveld, whether that was Carnell Tate, Brandon Ennis, Julian Sain, Sonny Styles, right. Lincoln Canoltz also talked, but these starting, you know, Peyton Pierce, these guys that start for Ohio State that play a bunch of reps, like, I think that this is a week that when you talk about being sleepy or a hungover Buckeyes, like, there was a risk that that could have happened against Grambling coming off of Texas, yeah. And it did not. They approached their business and they scaled back. So like at this time a week ago, they got off maybe 15, 20 minutes earlier off the practice field. Tonight was a little bit later than maybe a typical Wednesday. So I think the coaching staff and the players are channeling a lot more energy into Ohio because they know that there's a break coming after that. I did talk to a handful of you know, other players afterwards as they were going to the locker room. It's like, yep, they know what the schedule is already for next week.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's
motivator.
It's not taking anything for granted against Ohio on Saturday night. It is, this is what the schedule is like. This is what this stretch of the season is set up to achieve, whether it's view it as a training camp or not, yeah. Whether they call it that or not. They know full effort on Saturday night against Ohio and a Wednesday night and a Bloody Tuesday. And then you have a little bit of a breather and then it's full go, full send from there. So yeah. I think that maybe
it allows you to empty the tank a little bit more.
And not all of them are going to show that fatigue the same way. I think some of them are really, they've only played one game, one full game, or even just one and a half games. So there's still energy, I think, for the players on that point. But, you know, if you are still taking Ohio as seriously as you mentioned and looking at the West Virginia game and the way that Rutgers got pushed, like, the coaching staff isn't going to stop working long hours. Mm-hmm. Like that's, they also know that there's a little bit of a reprieve coming after Saturday night.
You were a lot closer to Ryan Day during his 10-minute lightning session. What was something that you took away from what he said? There's a lot of conversation about Julian Sain, about his development, his ball placement, yeah. about the way that he's throwing the ball. What else really stood out to you? I didn't really hear much of what Ryan Day said because the throng was so long.
I kind of think, what?
The throng was long.
Oh, okay. I thought that's what you said.
Yeah.
I think we're almost at the point already, sounds crazy, like that you, there's not much more that needs to be said about Julian Sain's passing ability. And he's, I know he's only scratched the surface. He's only had one 300-yard game, but he's beat Texas, and we know that he can make every throw that the Buckeyes want. So in some ways, I didn't find that to be all that illuminating, but he, Ryan Day did keep coming back to a conversation about the running game and said that they've had stretches where they've been as productive as they want, but it has not been explosive.
Yeah.
Like, certainly wasn't against Texas, and even to some extent, it wasn't as explosive as they wanted against Grambling. So I think they're really hammering that part. And then Austin Saraveld echoing that. I always appreciate it. You know this, Berm, when the coaching points and when Ryan Day says something and then the captains already are like not parroting, like they're mimicking it word for word.
They take on the voice of their coach, for sure.
When they're separate and like they're not listening to Ryan Day. They didn't know he said that, but they certainly hear him in the team meeting room and on the practice field. And so that is, like, I don't think that Ohio on Saturday night is really about Julian Sain or Jeremiah Smith or Carnell Tate at all. Like, they wanted to expand the arsenal on Saturday against Grambling, and they did that. I think this week the point of emphasis is really going to be C.J. Donaldson, James Peoples, whatever work Bo Jackson can get, and then that offensive line putting the pieces together in, you know, mauling up front. I think that this is going to be a heavier run game. That was my initial response to what Ryan Day said on Wednesday night. Like that felt like a very pointed message, and sometimes you can decipher what that game plan or the mentality is going to be like. I think they got done what they wanted last week in the passing attack, and this week it's okay, here's what has to happen on the ground.
Yeah, and again, because the Texas game feels like such an anomaly in the big picture of what this season's going to be, and we watched as they clearly and intentionally opened up the playbook for Julian Sain in the passing game on Saturday against Grambling. And so now, like, I think the natural response is to overcorrect in the run game for this one.
I don't know.
Maybe it's not overcorrect, but it's to refocus or to turn the focus to that.
Right.
Knowing that you're going to need to do some ball control stuff out in Washington to make sure that, because Washington will be the one team this year that is going to try to maybe, that they play maybe all year long, that is until you get to the playoff, that's going to try to really open up the passing game against you. So it's an interesting, like, back and forth. I did ask Ryan Day as he was walking off and said, you know, you ran it 60% of the time against Texas, but that game plan doesn't really count. Threw it 60%+ of the time against Grambling. Where do you want to be? And he said, we'd love to be 50-50. And I said, yeah, but when have you ever been close to 50-50? And he said, last year. It was the closest I've ever been. So I think that they're trying to see if that formula can be there for this weekend and moving forward. Now, question is, if Julian Sain comes out and he's 6-for-6 and 120 yards in the first quarter, then all of a sudden you're like, hey, maybe we should just let him do his thing. But I agree. I think that there's an intentional conversation happening right now about let's go out and establish ourselves physically up front and say and show Ohio that we're going to do what we want today and you're not going to stop
it. And I think that there's an interesting dynamic at play where even if your goal, and this goes back to when you and I were first covering Urban Meyer, it's like the goal is 250.
Yeah.
I don't think that that is a rational approach to playing a college football game or any football game. Some weeks are going to be more suited for one thing than the other.
Yeah.
And Grambling was an opponent where Ohio State could pick what it wanted to do and what it wanted to emphasize. And I think that it consciously wanted to give Julian Sain more options and more opportunities to throw the football.
But that's a game where you threw for 370 and ran for 280, right?
So, yeah.
Or 400.
And they could do whatever they wanted. But it did feel like the emphasis, the coaching point that week was going to be, let's take the next step with the passing attack. And they did that. And I think whether it is a reaction to that, an overreaction to that, a correction or a new focus, like this week it feels like, okay, you're still a 5-touchdown favorite.
Yeah.
You're likely going to be able to do whatever you want to Ohio's defense. What is it that you most want to accomplish? Okay, you already know what Jeremiah Smith can do. You know what Carnell Tate can do. It seems like you have a pretty good handle at this point of what Julian Sain can do. And there is still like just a little bit of uncertainty about, you know, the down in, down out consistency with CJ Donaldson, or if James Peoples is going to hit that home run for you once every, you know, 10 or 15 carries, or the Bo Jackson of it all, which we, you know, we're going to make sure we check that off of every single day of this week to talk about him and the good carries and the one that he wants back. But I think that that's, you know, Austin Cerevel just could not have been more clear himself. He said it, I think, three times in a row. We're going to run the damn ball.
I asked Carlos Lachlan the question we've been asking all week, which is, was the teachable moment for Bo Jackson related to Bo Jackson? And he said, no. So okay. The standard is the standard. I would have done that with a seventh string walk-on. I would have done it with Bo. I would have done it with CJ. It wouldn't have mattered. And so he said, and Ryan's the same way. He said it was not pointed directly at Bo because they have a long-term focus for him. I'm not sure if I entirely believe that, but that is the response to what he said. And Carlos Lachlan, again, this was not one of his nights at the microphone, but as he was walking away, he said, and don't forget Isaiah. So, like, I'm not saying that they're going to turn this into a four-man rotation at running back, but what they saw out of Isaiah West in his limited carries on Saturday and his vision and his ability to make a cut, like, that opened some eyes too. And so it's not just the Bo Jackson of it all, as you said. Like, there's other pieces to this as well. So it'll be fascinating to see how they attack that, because you don't want to go out there and force yourself on Saturday night into third and long situations just because you're beating your head against the wall trying to prove something. Ryan Day, in his tenure here, has seen a number of games where he's like tried to prove how tough they were running the ball and put themselves behind the sticks.
Yeah.
And so I'm interested to see exactly how they try to balance that early, because clearly establishing the run game is important. But in the big picture of this Ohio State football team, the 2025 Buckeyes, like, this team is going to go as far as Julian Sain in the passing game takes it, I think. But yeah. Clearly you want to find balance.
Locke said the standard is the standard.
The standard is the standard.
Did he coin that?
I believe he did not.
Oh.
I did not ask where he came up with it or where he heard it, but I've heard it before.
Okay. So you mentioned Julian. You talked to Locke about the running back situation. I had my takeaways from Ryan Day. Was there something else that you, as you floated around,
I was
a little bit of a social butterfly?
Yeah, I was talking a little bit to Matt Patricia because I'm curious about the pass rush and where is it? And he,
where are you on pass rush?
And he said what I thought he would say, which is, we haven't had a need to really do it. The goal against Texas was, don't let Arch out of the pocket. He said that will be the goal this weekend. It
feels
as well.
Like the same situation.
He said that will be the goal for the Ohio game as well. So don't expect a lot of defensive ends getting up the field and getting super aggressive in pass rush situations. But he then also said, but also don't forget, we can rush the passer from other spots. And so I jokingly asked Peyton Pierce, I'm like, do you ever wish that some of that was for you? And some of you could get a little bit of the edge rush sauce. And he said, no.
Doesn't want it?
He said, let those guys do it because it means I get to stay on the field. So he gets to stay on the field at Mike and play in the middle. And he said, those guys can earn more money. He said, he'll leave that up to the freaks.
Okay.
And he'll just man the middle. So if you want to know more.
So there is no Texas Tornado Bro Blitz.
I'm sure we can see his nickname in high school was Superman. The kid is athletic, but he is content being the guy in the middle, making sure that the run game doesn't get going that direction.
Lots of high school kids call themselves Superman.
I don't think he called himself Superman. I think people around him called him Superman. But regardless, it's a really confident group. They seem very comfortable. But you can certainly sense that there is a, let's get through Saturday and then take a deep breath. Because the coaches are going to be on the road on Monday for recruiting. Everyone's talking about where they're going next week. So it's about taking the next step. And, you know, Ryan Day has done a remarkable job in these circumstances in his time at Ohio State. There's no reason on a Wednesday night in here that I would think that we should expect anything different.
Yeah. I mean, I think in a little bit of fatigue as you settle into the grind of the season, and especially if Ohio State is pushing its way through to get through game number three, and knowing there's an off week after that, that you want to get as much improvement done as possible before you get into that Big Ten slate, which we can talk about that in 2 weeks when the Buckeyes turn the page to Washington. But right now, they are focused solely on the Ohio Bobcats. Saturday, 7 p.m., game is going to be on Peacock. So don't forget to subscribe. Berm said,
you can get a free trial.
He's got a referral code for you.
Probably.
I don't know how it all works.
I don't know if they have those or not, but I'm confident you can go on the internet and put in free trial for Peacock, and you'll probably get that. Make sure you don't separate the words. You know what I mean?
You've always got to be careful.
It's one word. Yeah. It's like the animal, like the bird. Just remember that.
That's great advice. Sign up if you're not going to be at the Horseshoe, which you can still get some
tickets.
It's
over there, and there's tickets available, so you should go. It's going to be a beautiful night on Saturday.
No prime time. It's what everybody wants.
Yep. Prime time.
Looking forward to it. The Beat will be back on Thursday morning. It'll be a 1, 2, 3 things Thursday.
Some of those things we discussed sort of here tonight. It's things that we were wondering about that I think we might have got some answers to. So hopefully it doesn't.
I'm still skeptical.
Yeah, I mean,
curious.
I still want to see it in practice. I still want to see how it looks. But certainly there's some good. This was a productive Wednesday night in the Woody.
It really was. Let me make sure that I clean that up. I'm not skeptical. There's things that I'm curious about.
Curious.
There's not a lot of skepticism about the number one team in the country. They're pretty darn good, and they've got a chance to show that against a MAC in-state opponent, the reigning MAC champions, coming into the Horseshoe Saturday night. This, though, it's been a Woody Wednesday, and he's Jeremy Birmingham. I'm Austin Ward. These have been Snap Judgments. We'll see you later on 97.1 The Fan, 10 TV, and anywhere you get podcasts. So long.
Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then Coach Rick Mahorn, sensation Nazir Kor, and the Detroit Amps look to protect home court against back-to-back MVP Michael Beasley and the defending champs Miami 305. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays on BET. Yay, yay!